I've been joking during this time that we are the session after the graveyard shift. But I was reminded downstairs that after the grave is the resurrection. So come on. So moving forward, come forth. Amen. So I just want to give you a few thoughts to start with on prayer. I've been asked to do that. So here we go. So in Matthew 6:6, it says this. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So my first question to all of you is, what is your secret place? Do you have a secret place? Is your secret place an actual room? Some of you it may be. Does it have to be an actual room? Or can it just be a place? My secret place at the moment, we're having some renovations done and we're having this wonderful room done at the front of church. I often just go and sit in there when the builders aren't there and just sit and take in the stillness of the place and the renovations that are going on, the building that's in there. To me, that is a secret place at the moment. But my secret place is always on the move. It changes all the time. Does it have to be the same place? I would say no, it doesn't have to be the same place. But where do you find your secret place? Is Jesus here talking about just a metaphor? Is the secret place just a metaphor for a secret place that's in your heart? Maybe our secret place is like this too. It moves around, it changes. We can remember back 10 years maybe and we had a secret place, but it's changed at the moment. What I would encourage you, first encouragement is, make sure your secret place is a new covenant place. Make sure it's a new covenant place. Now, in the movie, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you will know that the story revolves around a wardrobe. And when the kids go into this wardrobe, it starts off as just a closet, doesn't it? You know, Jesus said, go into your closet. But actually, what happens is it opens up into something so much more. And I want to speak into a little bit about what that so much more of the prayer closet can be and ought to be in our lives. So thinking about what your closet is, what your secret place is. Number one, I want to say to you, who goes into the secret place? Well, hopefully you go in. Hopefully you've got a secret place and you go into that secret place. 1 Peter 3 verse 12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. So when you go into the secret place, you need to know that you're righteous before him. You need to know that. It's a new covenant place you're going into. He has made you righteous through the death and resurrection of Christ. Know that when you find yourself going into the secret place. Don't go in there with shame, condemnation, and guilt hanging all over you. It's a new covenant place you're going into. So go with the confidence that you are righteous in him, and he hears your prayers. The Apostle Paul says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We go in there in him. In a way, our secret place is in him. So wherever we find ourselves, this afternoon, we're going to go into a time of prayer, worship, prophecy, but you will be in the seat you're in him, in the secret place. And I want to encourage you all, each and every one of you, to know that God hears you and to be looking to hear what God's got to say to you this afternoon. Because we can get to this stage in the conference and we've switched off, but we've already called you forth in resurrection power. So let's have our ears open and our eyes open to anything he wants to show us, even in this moment now. Because we've been through a lot today. You've heard a lot. You're most probably a little bit on overload. But in my diary, in my book, sorry, my notes, when something specific has come across, I've written down number one, circled it. And I've got to number two, circled it. So I'm looking at those two. When I get back, those two things are from this day the main things I'm going to be looking at. So I've been looking for God to speak to me and show me something all the way through the day. And maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe this is going to be a time of confirmation for that in your life of what God is saying to you here today and what he wants you to put into action when you get back into your churches and into your lives. Again, it says, and therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. behold, all things have become new. That's important for us as well, to know that when we go into the closet, it's a new covenant closet, it's new. We are new going into a new covenant closet. So let's go in there with confidence. 1 John 5, verses 14 to 15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. We have confidence in him, but we have confidence in him. Amen? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Confidence in the secret place, confidence in prayer, confidence that we are righteous in him, confidence that he hears us, and confidence that he doubly hears us. Sometimes we can go into the quiet place, we can go into prayer, and we can be thinking, oh, I've made so many mistakes today, I've made so many mistakes this week, I just don't feel worthy, I don't feel all that, I feel guilty about. Shed all of that stuff off as you step into the new covenant place of the prayer closet with him, knowing that you're in him and knowing that he hears you. And so I want to encourage you to pray with confidence because we have faith that he hears us. So you might be thinking this afternoon of all the stuff you've heard today, I can't make sense. It's just so much. But know that when you say to him, Lord, what are the three things? What are the two or three things that you want me to focus on now? He hears you, but you've got to be listening for the answers. Amen? Got to be listening to the answers. Secondly, a child goes in to see his father. Into the secret place, a child goes to see his father. We're not beggars going in begging for something. We are children of God going in to see our Father. The Apostle John says that because we believe in his name, he has given us the right to become the children of God. We have a right to be in there. He makes us righteous. We have a right to be in there. We're children going to talk to our Father. Luke 9, verses 9 to 13, and I'll read this just to emphasize this point. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Those are very definite statements, aren't they, from Jesus there? So when we're in the secret place, know that these definite statements are over our lives. And then he goes on to use the analogy of a father and a son again, or the father and a child again. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? If we know how to give good gifts to our children, our grandchildren now, if we know how to give good gifts to these children, how much more does God want to give his gifts to us? So who's going into the secret place, having a secret place? But then again, like with the story of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when you get into that place, what do you find there? What do we find in the secret place? The children in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe found another world. We too can find another world in that place. It's a new covenant world. Firstly, the thing we will find there is that we're walking on a new and living way. A new and living way by which we are approaching God. And this is consecrated by the blood of Jesus. This is what Christian has already referenced the book of Hebrews today, in my hearing anyway. Might have been in the last session, I can't remember. But the book of Hebrews specifically says to us that we are going by a new and living way. So come boldly. Come boldly. So go boldly into your closet. Go boldly. Don't come all, like I say, don't come in condemnation, shame. Come boldly. You're a child coming to the Father. The old temple system is gone. It's gone. The Romans tore it down back in the day, AD 70, and that was emblematic of the fact that Jesus has come to bring a new covenant, a new way of approaching God. We don't have to go through the temple system anymore. we come into a new place. We can boldly enter by this way. And we boldly enter and we draw near. There is no veil in your closet. There's no veil. It's been taken away. And what we find in the new, and when we come into our closet, and really, if we close our eyes now, we're in our closet. If we close up, we're in our closet. And what we find there is we're in the Holy of Holies. Again, Hebrews 10. Come boldly into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. We find presence there. We find his presence. God himself is there. And there is nothing between us because the veil is taken away. So we come into his presence. And when we do, know that he sees you. Know that he hears you. Know that he knows you. His eyes and ears are attentive to us. That's amazing. The God of the universe, the God who created everything, who flung the stars into space, the one who we know lives on the inside of us, but he's beckoning us in to the Holy of Holies where he is, into that place. And there we can, as it says in Hebrews 4, verse 16, when we come into that place, we find that we've come boldly to the throne of grace. To the throne of grace. Now, when I was asked to do this session on prayer, I thought to myself, well, everybody in that room is already going to be praying on a regular basis. So I didn't want to go there and insult your intelligence, yeah? Insult your spirituality. But I just wanted to, I felt God just wanted to open these things up to you about where you're going to and who's going in there and the boldness in which we can use these things. It says, we come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. So no matter how unworthy you might feel about yourself, no matter how you have failed and you have tripped up and you've been tempted and all these different things, you come to the throne of grace to find the very mercy you're crying out for. And you come to your Father, face to face, no veil, you step in to that place. And you find grace to help in time of need. And not only that, when we come into the secret place, we find answers. If we will look and listen. Sometimes, we're all guilty of this, I'm sure, where we think prayer is just petitions, requests, let's just get it all out there, Lord. You're just basically unburdening yourself before the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with that. But maybe once you've unburdened, you get up and walk out again. But what God wants to encourage you to do is to find the answers, to look and listen. To look with a keen eye because we are coming face to face with the Father. We seek his face when we get into the secret place. And we also need to come in with a listening ear. Because we can come with all our prayers, petitions, supplications, requests, and all these things. But we're looking for answers, aren't we? And so often the answers are spoken to us. He is a God who speaks. So I want to encourage you in this time when towards the end of this day, it's not the end of the day. We're approaching the throne of God at this time of the day. So shake off. We talked this morning, didn't we, about shaking off the dust, shaking off the cobwebs. Because the answers to all those things that are hanging on your bookshelves, the answers to why you feel maybe you've been left on the bookshelf and dust is gathering and all these, the answers could be given to you today. If you will listen and you will look and see, he may speak to you through some of the words, the songs we're going to sing. He may have spoken to you through a prophetic word already. He might speak to you through the prophetic word that Julie's going to bring in a minute. But we need to be listening to what God has said. So many times in Scripture, the answer to people's prayers and requests are simply some words. Go and do this. Think of Naaman. He wanted to be healed. What did the prophet say to him? He said, God says, go and do this. Now, if he hadn't heard that and he hadn't responded to that, he wouldn't have been healed. So often, we just need to hear a word from the Lord. How many times I can speak for myself here. I get into the prayer closet and I pour out some stuff and I simply hear God say, Paul, it's going to be okay. That's enough. You can step up from the prayer place there, and you can. That's enough. I've heard God say it's going to be okay, and I don't know how it's going to be okay, but it's going to be okay. So I'm going to ask Julie to come up. She's got a prophetic word, and the guys from the team are going to come up. If during this time of praise and worship, because when we start, we're going to be singing a prayer. So as I said, moving forward, let's come forth. Let's come forth. Let's take everything we've heard today and reconsecrate our lives to Him. This is a new day and a new season in the nation. We're hearing about that all the time. So let's step into it. But if there's, during this time, when we are praying and worshiping together, if you've got a prophetic word, I'll be down the front with the microphone. Come to me, share it with me, and we will go from there. But Julie's already shared this with me in accountability, so we're going to hear what God's going to say through Julie.
Yeah, so I did share it with Christian as well. I did feel God had given me this a little while ago for us, and it was that whole accountability back to applying the word of God today. As we said earlier, as Christian said, if we don't do this, we'll become dull. And if we do put these things into practice, we'll become sharp. And I did feel that God wanted to create a new shape in our lives. He wanted to sharpen us. He wanted to give us a new shape. As the potter molds the clay, He wants us to continually be on that wheel. And so the word shape came to me as I was praying about us and this day. And I felt that God gave me five words that one of this may be for you, that the acronym of shape. So God wants us to rise with strength, the S. Now let the weak say, I am strong. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Rise with health. Dear friend, I pray that you will prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Rise with anointing, for the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. Rise with provision. You may have been saying, we have lack, I don't have enough. God wants you to know that my God will supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. And rise with enjoyment. God isn't shaping you to burden you. God is shaping you to take you in to your best ahead. And that is John 10:10, that you may live an abundant life. If you want that word, because that is for you, then please, I've got it written down. I can share it with you. God bless you.
Amen. So on the back of all of this, let's rise in resurrection strength and power. Let's rise together. Let's shake off the cobwebs, shake off the dust, shake off the graveyard shift. We're into a new space. We're into a space where we want to come and meet with God on an individual basis. We'll be singing together, we'll be worshiping together, but God wants to speak to you on an individual basis. I believe that. And the guys are going to lead you in worship now. And like I say, if you feel you've got a word, come and see me. I'll be down here at the front. the God of heaven, because of his great love with which he loved us. His eyes are upon you. His ears are attentive to you. He heard your prayer in that song where you have again consecrated your life to the Lord, consecrated your life to his new day in your life, his new season. Maybe he's speaking to you right now about something new and something fresh he wants you to step into. Something new and something fresh for your people back home. A new season, a new day. Lift up your eyes to the hills. That's where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord. And we see the Lord high and lifted up this afternoon. We see him in the beauty of his temple. We see him seated on the throne. We see him on the throne of grace. We thank you for, thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for your anointing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, just for your everlasting love that is poured out upon us. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us. And we want to just give you praise. We just want to worship you this afternoon. We just want to worship you, Lord. And lift up the beauty of your name. Just to gaze upon your beauty. Jesus' name. Becky opens her eyes.
Yeah, it's fine.
So just as we were worshipping this morning, I had two words that came to me. Expedited release. And I was like, Lord, is that for me? And then Paul shared about people being on in a library on a dusted shelf and you needed to come off the shelf. And I thought, okay, maybe somebody needs an expedited release in coming off that shelf and being dusted off. And then Mark got up and he said, people are on a bike and they are cycling towards the force, the wind, but actually maybe it's time, this is what I think, to maybe turn around and go with the wind, go with the Holy Spirit, allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, to expedite a release in something that he's got for you. And then Julie got up and she said about an uprising in shape. And all those letters may bring something to you or individually represent something in you. And now's the time to say, hey, Holy Spirit, come. I don't want to go slow anymore in what you've got for me. I don't want to keep waiting. I've waited for a long time, but now it's time. Now it's time for your expedited release, but only by keeping in step with the Spirit, by keeping in tune with the Spirit. And this is something about someone's voice too, that there's more to come from your voice. But it's about getting into that secret place, about hearing from Him, allowing Him to work in you. But it won't take long. It's an encouragement. There'll be an expedited release.
It's great. And following on from Helen, you know, as Paul illustrated so beautifully to us about now we can come into the holy place. There is no veil. Eh? What once was restricted to a select few across the entire globe for generations and generations is now fully acceptable to all who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have all have come under His anointing, who all are numbered and known as the children of God, whomsoever may come, not just in a generalistic relationship with God, but into full access to God Himself. There's no hindrance, there's no restriction. And you see, the character that is His is now yours, waiting to burst forth through you, taking dominance over the flesh and revealing the beautiful person of Christ. You see, the gifts, the personality, the presence and power of His Spirit is now alive and at work in you. The same Spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the grave lives and abides in you. And right now, and in this season, perhaps this day, for the first time, the Lord has been speaking to you about some of these new things. Hey, they're just new to you and your acknowledgement of them because they've been lying in you since Christ came into you. But now they're coming to the fore. Those gifts that you thought were maybe just for this one or that one or that could only be possible within the pages of Scripture now is part of the fabric of you and is part of your destiny. It's just now ready for you to say, yes, and amen.
I was in our Nottingham building last week, and I had a picture, and I felt like the picture was just for me, but as the words started coming in, I feel like it's a picture for maybe somebody here today. And at the front of our Nottingham building, there's a really bright, big yellow door. And as we were sat with some of the team just worshipping, I got this picture of the door literally flinging wide open. And it flung so far that it didn't just creak open, but it actually made a bit of damage to the back of the wall. It literally flung that wide open. And I was reflecting, I said, Lord, you know, what's that for? What does that mean? And I just felt the gentle whisper of God say, you know, we want the door to open and we want the more of God, but there's some inward work that needs to be done first before the door swings wide open. And I want to encourage you here today, as Paul's spoken about the secret place. Maybe some of you have got dreams. Maybe some of you have got goals and aspirations. Maybe you've been like Mary and you've hidden them in your heart, which is a good thing. But I want to encourage you to get back in the secret place, because as you do, that door will begin to swing wide open. And I had this thing afterwards, and the Lord just again gently said to me, he said, Annie, if the door never opened, would I still be enough? And I said, yes, Lord, you would still be enough, because you are my one thing. And I just want to encourage somebody today. Maybe you just need to make God your one thing again. You maybe need to get back in the secret place again. When you do, then the door will fling wide open. It will smash right wide open.